Today we're up to Perek Sheni, the second chapter of Hilchos Tzitzis, the Laws of Tzitzis. In most standard Rambams, this will be on page Mem Tes, if you're following from a text. Halacha Aleph. Tchelas Hamura B'Torah. The Tchelas, the blue dye that the Torah speaks of. B'chol Malkom, everywhere. Hiatzema Tzavua K'Pasoch Shabakachol. This is a wool that has dyed a certain blue shade. This is sort of the color of the sky that we see when it's sunny, the purest part of the sky, the cleanest part of the sky. Now the tchelas, this blue dye that is said concerning the tzitzis, it has to be a certain particular type of dye, not only the right shade, but a particular type of dye, that remains in its original beauty and doesn't change or fade. Anything that was not dyed with that particular kind of dyeing, it's not kosher, it's disqualified for use in tzitzis. Even though in color it is a sky blue color. Kigon, for example, Shetzovo b'istis o b'shachar ha-mashkirim. He dyed it by other things that make things a dark color. Harei apostle tzitzis, it is still disqualified. It has to be a specific type of dye, which, as we'll see later, is derived from a particular kind of fish or mollusk. Rachel bas eis timra apostle tzitzis. Now, as far as the wool goes, it has to be the wool of a lamb. A lamb born of a goat, in other words, a lamb whose father was a lamb and his mother was a goat, simapaslotitis, the wool of such a creature is not kosher, it's not a pure lamb. Base, ketzat tzovin tchelash tzitzis. How do we dye the blue of the tzitzis? Lokinatzemer, we take the wool, v'sharon also besid, we sort of soak it in a kind of plaster. Vakach mechabsin oso. Then you wash it, achianaki, till it's clean. Umarsichin oso ba'ahala. And you boil it with a herb called ahala. Kiyotzeba or other such herbs. Kidach shatzavoyim, as is the manner of dyers. Osen, you do this. Kidesh yiklitus o'ayin, so that it should be able to absorb the color. This is a treatment that is given to the material so that it should absorb the proper color. Then you bring the blood of a fish known as a chilazon. This is a fish whose color is similar to this blue color and has a dark blood, kidyol, like ink. And this is found in the salt sea. That is the Dead Sea. V'nosin l'sadom liyora. You put this, the blood of the fish into the pot. V'nosin imos samamonim. And you put other herbs with it. Kamo ha'kmunya. These are different types of herbs used in dyeing. Ukiyotzven and so on. G'der shetzavom olsin, as dyers do. U'masichin also, and you boil all of this. V'nosin bo'atzemer, and you put the wool into it. Ad until Shiyasik and Rikia becomes the color of the sky. Mizuya Tchela Shal Tzitzis, this is the Tchelas, the blue of the Tzitzis. Gimel. Tchela Shal Tzitzis, Tzricha Tzvi Lishma. The blue of the Tzitzis has to be dyed for the sake of the mitzvah. And Tzava Shal Lishma Psula, if it was dyed not for that sake, it is disqualified. Vayara Shiyesh Ba Tzava, the pot that has the dye in it. In Tzava Ba Miat Tzemer Levotko, if he first dyed a little bit of wool in it to check it, in Muyatam Lav, if it's good or not, Nivsala Yarakula, the entire pot is disqualified since some of it was used not for the sake of the mitzvah. The Ketzad Yasa, how should he do it if he does want to test the color? Lokeha Tzeva Mina Yara, but Klikotam. He takes out some of the dye from the pot in a small receptacle. Umaniach Botzemer, then he puts the wool into that, Shabodukbo, that he's checking. And he destroys, he burns that which he checked. Shenitzel of Dika, because it was dyed for checking and it wouldn't be kosher. And then he pours out the dye in the receptacle that he used to check. Since he used it, he disqualified it. And the rest of it that's in there is also disqualified. And then he dyes the rest of the blue wool with the remaining dye that was not affected, that was not blemished by being used. Dalit. Chelas may only be bought from an expert. Because we're afraid that he might have dyed it not for the sake of the mitzvah. Even if it was taken from an expert. If it was checked and it was known that it was, by virtue of this chemical test, that it was dyed from some other variety of dye, hamashchirim that are dark, shein and omdim, they're not permanent as the proper tchelas is. Psulot is disqualified. Hey, ketzev bokenosa, how do we test it? At yudei mitzvah kilchasim lav, to know if it was dyed properly or not. Lochen teven, we take a straw, virir shel shavlul, and the slime of a snail, mereglaim shenis chamtu abar miyom, and urine that fermented sort of for 40 days. Mishanat tchelas b'chulam, and you soak the tchelas in all of this, mass lasts for 24 hours. If it remained in its original color and did not fade, then it's definitely kosher. If it did fade, you have to do another test then. You take this dough of barley that is used to ferment. It's a fermented kind of sour dough. It's used in the manufacture of murius, a kind of fish product. And you give this tchelas that did change in its color, betocha, into this dough. The ova batzik b'taner. Then you bake the dough in the oven. Matzina tchelas min hapas, and you remove the blue from the bread. Veron also, you look at it. And kasa m'mash ha'isap, if it got faded from what it was before, psul, it's disqualified. If its color increased, became darker than it was before, more than before the baking, then ksherot is kosher. Look above. A courtyard in which tchelas is sold, they had a reputation as being kosher. You can buy from it plain, without vein sarfadika, you do not have to investigate. It is considered on its presumption of being proper and fit and kosher ad shetichoshed, until you have reason for suspicion. If you entrust tchelas to a non-Jew, it is not kosher because he might have exchanged it. He doesn't realize and doesn't care about the significance that we have and we give to this particular dye, so therefore would not be kosher. If it was in a vessel, it was double sealed, a seal within a seal, it is kosher. If it's only one seal, psula, then it is disqualified. If one finds the blue dye, wool dyed blue, in the marketplace, even if they're separate strings that look like tzitzis, it's still disqualified. Shazurin, however, the strings are twined together, which is the way which tzitzis are usually made, then ksherot is kosher. Now, the original version of the Rambam didn't read this way. The original version read, Afilo matzah chutin psukin u'shazurin psulin. Even if he found that the threads were cut into the size and twined, they are still disqualified. Now, the Ravid had the original version, and he objects to the Rambam, and he says, "Tadaktik yofa begisa shel ervin." If you look carefully in the text of tractate ervin from which this law is derived, "Timatzavamis," you'll find in truth the hachi maskana that the conclusion is to shazurim uksafim kshera, that if you have separate strings and it's twine string, it is kosher. To kula haylo tarchi, we're not afraid that somebody is going to do this without using the right form of dye. We learn in the chapter Motzi Tfilin, Nishanas Machnisen Zug Zug of Lochadashes. If you find old tefillin, you can bring them in on Shabbos by wearing them, but not new ones. Like Rabbi Yehuda. So you might think that the reason there is that we are afraid that they're not really made for the sake of tefillin, they're made for the sake of amulets. So if you're afraid of that, you should be afraid here also that even though we made them look just like tzitzis, maybe they're not. The Rabbi says, no, the reason there is not that we're afraid that they're amulets. It's not that we're afraid that they're amulets. Nobody would bother so much to make an amulet that looks just like tefillin. What do you mean new ones that you're not supposed to bring in? They're not tied yet. So why can't you bring them in on Shabbos? You cannot tie them on Shabbos. There's no way of bringing them in. There's no way of wearing them. Even if you make it with a bow or a slipknot, because this is following the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that making a bow is also forbidden. It's considered like tying a knot, and it's forbidden on Shabbos. Because the Mishnah says that the sages of Luniel questioned the Rambam, and he said that the original version was wrong and that it should be corrected, and therefore there is actually no argument between the Rambam and the Ravid, because in the Rambam's response to the sages of Luniel, he agrees that if they're separate strings and they are twined the way tzitzis are, that it is in fact kosher, and that's reflected in the version of the Rambam that we have. The Rambam continues, "Alekeach talis mitzuyetzis min hashuk miYisrael arei b'chaskasa." If you buy a talis with tzitzis already on it in the market from a Jew, so it has a presumption that it is kosher. Min hagoy hatagar k'shera, from a non-Jewish merchant, it is kosher because he's not going to want to ruin his reputation by selling you something that is phony. Min ahedid, from an ordinary non-Jew, psul, it's not kosher because it may be a false thing that he's selling to you. A talus that is entirely red or green or any other color, you make the white as opposed to the blue, the white threads in the same color. If it's in Yerokin, Yerokin, and Maduma, Adumim. If it's green, green. If it's red, red. If the entire tzitzis were made out of the entire garment was made out of blue wool. You can make the so-called white part, in other words, the non-blue thread, out of any dye, except for black. Because it looks like tcheles. It looks like the blue wool. And you want to extinguish between the blue and the non-tcheles, which can be any other color. And you twist around all of it a thread of blue as you would do around any regular tzitzis. Ravid says, "Risi mishik shalav." I saw some people who asked a question on this interpretation, vazosa brisa, as well as on the source of the Rambam, which is a brisa, shepina latzeva sheyatzitzis mitzeva talis. That was particular that the dye of the tzitzis should be of the same dye as the talis. So it should be of the same species as the corner. What people asked on this was, Mashama Rava Breshet Cheles. Rava said in the beginning of chapter at Cheles, does the color cause it to be the same species? It goes by the species, not by the color. So they questioned this law as brought down in the Rambam. So the Ravid, uncharacteristically, instead of arguing here, he's defending the Rambam. He says, V'lav kushahi, this is not a question. There the Gemara is asking about which one should come first. It's not fitting that the tcheles should come before the white because of the dye. Even though the talus is all tcheles, it's not fitting that the blue wool should be the first one that you start winding it around with. It's certainly a mitzvah to have the white wool first before the blue wool. Apishemina, even though it's the same species. Why? Because the Torah says, "Al tzitzis akon of psil chelas." On the tzitzis, there should be a blue thread, which implies la'olam at chelas yavol at tzitzis hakonof. The chelas should always come on the tzitzis of the fringe. Komer, this means she had chelas achron bal, that the chelas should come afterwards. So that's why you have to first start off with the color of the fringe, for the first revolution, as opposed to starting off with the tchelas. Nevertheless, this is not a contradiction. It does have to be of the same color as the talus, so it should be of that species.
In other words, the Ravid is saying that when the Gemara says, is it significant what color it is, it's not referring there to the color of the garment. It's referring to the fact that even if the garment is made out of tchelas, you don't begin with the same color, namely tchelas, but you always begin with the other tzitzis before the other color of the tzitzis. You start winding around with that before winding with the tzitzis. So it's not even actually dealing with what color the garment and the tzitzis of that garment have to be.
Halachates. Kosh onish mishenu maniach lav and yosem onish shelo haniach tcheras. There's a greater punishment for one who doesn't put on the white as opposed to one who doesn't put on the blue. Fishalav and matzui. The white is found very easily, lachal, to everyone. But tcheras and matzuya b'chol mako. And the blue is not found in every place, lo b'chol zman, nor in every time. Because of this dye that we said, it's a very specialized kind of dye, and it's not readily available everywhere. Now that we've finished the daily chapter, we're going to do several mitzvahs from the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam, in which he lists the 365 negative and 248 positive commandments. And we're going to study those commandments that are included in the daily portion of the Rambam. For those who are studying the one-year cycle, which the entire Rambam is being studied in the year. And those mitzvahs are mitzvah Shin Mem through Shin Mem He, 340 through 345. And the Rambam is listing here the mitzvahs that define forbidden incestuous relationships. Shin Mem, Hisironim Megalas Erev Achos Av, there's a prohibition of the sister of the father, of the aunt, that's considered incestuous. From Yisparach, Hashem says, God says, Ervas Achos Avichal Osegale, that you may not have relations with the sister of your father. Ravalav Zeb Amezachai Kares, one who transgresses this purposely is liable to the punishment of Kares, to be cut off. Ubishogig Yavichatis Kvu, if it's done inadvertently, he brings a regular sin offering. Mitzah Shin Mem Aleph, Mitzah 341. The Torah forbids also the mother's sister. In other words, the aunt who is the mother's sister. That's also considered incestuous and is forbidden. Ramos, the Torah says, the Torah writes the pasuk that forbids the relationship with the sister of the mother. If this is transgressed purposely, you're liable to the punishment of being cut off. And inadvertently a set sin offering. Mitzvah Shin Mem Beis, Mitzvah 342. There's a prohibition of the wife of the father's brother. That's an aunt through marriage. Your uncle's wife. Vamro, as it says, Alishta lo sikrov dadoschahi. Do not approach his wife, she is your aunt. If this is transgressed purposely, the punishment is kares. Inadvertently, the punishment is a set sin offering. Mitzvah Shimon Gimel 343. The prohibition of the wife of the son, the daughter-in-law, is permanently forbidden to her father-in-law, or ex-father-in-law. Ramur Yisala, as Hashem says, Ervas Kalos Halosigale, that your daughter-in-law is forbidden. Ravalav Zebeskila, this is a capital offense. The punishment is stoning. If the witnesses were not adequately supervised, adequately questioned, or it wasn't known through witnesses, then he gets the punishment of Kares. He remains it if it's done purposely. If it's done inadvertently, Yaakov Chatas Kavua has to bring a set sin offering. Shin Mem Dalad, the 344. There's a prohibition of the wife of your brother, a sister-in-law. From Yisala, as the Torah says, that it is forbidden to have relations with your sister-in-law. Again, all of these things mean even when she's no longer a married woman, even if she's divorced and so on. It remains a forbidden relationship. Rabbi Lavzer, one who transgresses this violation, because his punishment is to be cut off, Karis, and my amazed if it's purposely, and my Yeshogig, if it's inadvertently, Yaakov Chadis Kvor, he brings a set sin offering. And finally, Mitzvah Shimnim, hey, Yisrael Megalas Eves Achos Ishto, Bechaya Ishto. You're not allowed to marry your wife's sister as long as your wife is alive. Here, this is an exception. It's only while your wife is alive. In other words, if you're married and you get a divorce, you cannot marry your ex-wife's sister. If your wife should die, however, then there is no prohibition. For Amro, this is what it says, Vishal Achosa Lasikach, do not take a woman and her sister. However, Allah Zeb Kares and Umezid, if one transgresses this prohibition purposely, the punishment is Kares, to be cut off. Vishogig Yaakov Karbon Chadis Kavua, if it's inadvertently, he brings a regular sin offering.